Welcome to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer, sponsored by Bookcliff Gardens. Here's Dennis and Mona.
Well, good morning, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Bookcliff Gardens, where we help you grow.
Minus Dennis Hill.
We're not sure what he's doing today, but I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Did he say what he's doing today?
He just said he had plans, maybe the to-do list.
Oh, sure. Well, that's all right. He can do the to-do list. I've got, you know, when he's done at his house, maybe he and Patty can go work on mine.
Yeah, they can just travel.
Right.
The traveling gardeners.
The traveling to-do list. It's awesome.
It is. What a beautiful day today.
Oh, my goodness. Sunrise this morning was glorious.
Beautiful.
Lavender and pink, a little bit of yellow shot through the sky. It was lovely. Lovely, lovely. A little bit nippy out there, though. It was low 40s at my house. How about yours?
38.
Woo.
I know.
Goodness sake.
I know. But I still dressed a little bit too warm for my trail run because it warms up around here.
Yeah.
It's just when that sun pops out.
Well, yeah, but there's also that other part that you said, the run part.
Yes.
Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Yeah, it might. And the good news is I didn't trip and fall today anything.
I'm so glad. You know, no bruised
no
or bloody knees.
Nope.
Good job, Steph.
It is hard to see, though, this time of the day.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Because it's dark.
It is very dark.
Till a little bit after 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the time change is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. It's all good.
Yeah.
The weather, oh my goodness, it's been so, so pretty. And looks like for the whole week to come, we are going to have highs in the low to mid 70s. All week long. I'm sorry, highs in the low to mid 70s. and lows in the mid 40s.
Yep.
So that's for us here around Grand Junction. I spoke to some folks yesterday out of Montrose. They got clear down to about 28 couple of nights ago. And so their gardens are, you know, kind of quaking and shaking. Folks have been covering their tomatoes and trying to kind of extend their gardens and such.
As long as possible.
But yeah, we're at the tail end of it.
We are, because we're not going to have tomatoes anymore at the store.
Right. The last of the tomatoes have gone away. We will still have the greens.
Right. Lettuce.
Right? Lettuce and the cheese from Rocking W. The fresh eggs we'll still have. Oh, those are so yum.
They are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So we are going to answer questions today about gardening. If you've got a question or a concern or
a tip.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Give us a call so that we don't have to tap dance and do jazz hands at each other.
Exactly. Big faces.
Indeed. The number here is 245-1100, 245-1100. So, Steph, tell us what's going on at the garden center.
Gosh, we have garlic. People are coming in to get their garlic because would you still recommend maybe another week?
Maybe wait one more week, but it is time.
Yeah.
It is close.
Yep. So come get your garlic. Time to plant your bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got lots of bulbs, so come get them. One thing I want you to mark your calendars for, though, because we're starting to plan right now, is our holiday open house, November. This is Sunday, November 15th. So it's still about a month away, but it's a really fun day for us. We like, you can just come in and check out. We'll have poinsettias. We'll have Christmas cactus, lots of houseplants, maybe some fun gift items, and hot cider, cookies, greenery. Did I say we'd have greenery? Yeah.
And hopefully the greenery will be here by then. Sometimes we get a little bit of a delay, but we always try to have fresh greens and fresh wreaths available for the holidays.
We do.
So it looks like we've got a caller and we do have a caller coming in.
Bless your heart.
All right, awesome. Rio is running the board for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Rio, who do we have?
We have Dolores.
Good morning, Dolores. What can we do for you?
Oh, good morning. The burning bushes around town, some of them are beautiful. Mine, I've got two, and they just don't do what they should. Is there anything that I can use to pump them up a little bit so they will turn colors more beautifully?
You know, sometimes burning bush will not turn as bright of a color if they are in a spot that's a little bit shady. So are yours out in the full sun, or are they getting a bit of shade at some point in the day?
Yeah, a little bit of shade at some point, yes.
Yep,
you're right.
And that may be part of what's going on with these guys, is they're just getting just a tiny bit of shade. How much shade do you suppose they're getting? Can you estimate that for us?
Oh, one I've got by a shed, probably 30% shade.
Okay, and is that morning or afternoon?
One is in the afternoon and one is in the morning.
Okay, yeah, and it's just a matter of the sunlight. I would just hang with them, though. You know, over time, once the plant gets a little bit bigger, it a lot of times they'll sort themselves out, but it really is about the sunlight.
Okay, because they are old. They're probably 15 years old.
Okay. Do you feed these guys? Do you fertilize at all?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, just keep hanging with them. You know, maybe just a little bit of a pruning. Some of the tips come this next spring. Maybe give them a little bit of a pruning so that you can get a little bit more foliage growth on them.
Okay.
That may help as well.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
I'll give it a try.
All right, Dolores.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
All
thank
right.
you for the call.
I enjoy your program.
Oh, thank you,
Bye-bye.
Dolores.
Thanks for listening.
Of course. All right. Good question.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, the burning bush right now, oh, they are glorious.
The colors.
It's like a fire engine.
It is. I know. Just yellow.
Yeah.
Deep purple.
Yeah. And the other day, we had that big windstorm come through. I thought, oh, my goodness, all the leaves are going to be gone. Nope. Yeah. A lot of the leaves hung in there with us.
They
so.
Are.
And I don't know folks that have had a chance to drive down anywhere near the river.
Oh, goodness.
The cottonwoods are starting to turn.
They are.
Isn't it such a pretty color?
Yeah, Rick and I were coming home from work last night. He was behind me a little ways. He had to stay at the nursery a little bit longer. But I I was on Redlands Parkway up on the
overpass.
On the overpass, looking down at the river, and the light was hitting the cottonwoods on the river. And I called him and I was like, okay, on your way home, make sure, pay attention.
So pretty.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah, there's just a quality to that color of yellow that is just extraordinary.
There's a huge cottonwood tree right at G Road and First Street.
Yes.
When I'm coming to the nursery. It's huge.
It is.
And it's gorgeous.
It is. And every day, another big, let's call it a lobe, of the leaves turn a little bit more gold.
Oh.
And it is just, it really is a beautiful cottonwood tree.
And we have an autumn blaze pear in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And we have, I'm trying to remember the other. Anyway, I love it when the trees just start, they're multicolor.
Mm-hmm.
They're just turning. So you've got all the different colors.
Just glorious.
Oh,
I know.
So pretty.
All right. Anyone else out there? Our number is 245-1100, 245-1100. So, yep. Steph, what else is going on?
Let's see. You know, we've been having, Jeanette and I have been diligently at the computer. Usually this time of the year, and I can't remember if I talked about this at another show, we get to go, or I haven't gotten experience. I've heard about the retail shows like in Las Vegas and Reno, and I think we were supposed to go to Philadelphia, where you can walk into the showrooms and you can see all the gift items, the pots, the, you know, all the pretty stuff. Well, they didn't have the shows this year.
Right.
So we're doing this all by computer. So we've been shopping till we drop. And it's been, another thing is customers will come in looking for things and I'll be like, oh, I'll order that or I'll look for that when I'm ordering. So I'm excited about new stuff coming in, mostly in the spring,
mm-hmm.
but we'll get some new things even in November.
Awesome.
So that's been fun.
Indeed.
Yeah. And we've just had a steady stream of customers.
We have.
Yeah.
Well,
the weather
is beautiful and we have some lovely, lovely plant material.
We do.
We got, I believe, was it 5 truckloads of a few trees, some really pretty shrubs. We've got some lovely perennials. And folks, it is a wonderful time to get these plants into the ground.
It is.
It is a great time to plant.
Right.
The ground is, the soil is nice and warm.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you snuggle these plants into the ground at this time of year, it gives the roots of the plants a chance to kind of settle in,
uh-huh.
snuggle in.
Uh-huh.
The root systems kind of work their way out into the soil. The plant isn't stressed out over, you know, 110 degree heat.
Yeah.
And they just gently go to sleep for the winter. Mm-hmm. And come spring, poof, they wake up and act as if they've always been there.
Right. And they've already got their root system started.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a jump start.
Sure. And they just, they go to sleep gently in the fall and come spring, they just jump.
Yep. There they are.
There they are. It's awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes.
So you had spoken briefly about time to plant bulbs.
Yes.
Last week, Dennis started to talk about amaryllis bulbs.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? Uh-huh. And he said that he would talk about it. Well, then he isn't.
The music started.
Then the music started.
Yeah, you didn't have time.
So we're going to revisit amaryllis bulbs. So amaryllis are that lovely, beautiful flower that folks will start in the house to either give as a gift or just to cheer themselves up during the dead of winter.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will have it as a Christmas flower, but other times they'll start them a little bit later so that they have something pretty and flowery in the house after the Christmas decorations have been taken down.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Okay. So to start an amaryllis bulb, you want to think about when you'd like the flower and then count 6 weeks forward on the calendar, mm-hmm. because it really does take about 6 weeks to go from mm-hmm. the bulb mm-hmm. to the blossom.
Mm-hmm.
So think 6 weeks out from when you want that flower to actually happen. They're very easy to grow. You just put that bulb in a pot of soil.
A larger pot than you might think.
Yeah. Well, it needs to be a pot that is pretty wide at the bottom.
Right.
And heavy.
And heavy.
Because the stalk on these bulbs can get really, really tall.
Yeah. So not necessarily a big pot, but a wide, sturdy.
A pot that has some weight to it.
Yeah.
A trick to keep that stem from getting quite so tall is get the bulb settled into the pot, get it planted. You don't bury the whole bulb, but you plant it so that the shoulders of the bulb mm-hmm. are still showing above the soil. Set the pot someplace warm. It doesn't matter about sunlight. It needs to be warm. The warm soil is what triggers the plant to start sending that little shoot up. Okay.
And that's so exciting when you see the shoot.
So we are getting ready to come up on a break. So I'm going to bail to the break.
And to be continued.
To be continued. And then we'll come back and talk more about the amaryllis. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer. This is Garden Talk. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Bill Needham, the home buyer and sales guy at RE/MAX 4000, with two exciting new developments to announce. First, Alex Kubik, the home buyer and sales gal, has joined our team. Alex brings a lifetime of real estate experience, artistic and creative vision, and a woman's perspective to the process. And second, that means we can now offer both home buying and selling services to help you take the worry out of the process. Visit me, Bill Needham, or Alex Kubik today at BillNeedham.com.
Ambassador Blind and Shutter.
See the world in a new light with Ambassador Blind and Shutter. If you're building a new home, talk to them before you start construction and learn how you can have your home hardwired to incorporate state-of-the-art automated blinds. Your ideas are boundless, and the rooms you envision can be too. With Ambassador Blind and Shutter, to set up a consultation, visit AmbassadorBlindAndShutter.com.
Ambassador Blind and Shutter.
Sometimes the hardest part of a project is removing the stuff you want to replace. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a solution for removing stubborn adhesives right after this.
Ready for some home improvement inspiration? Full episodes and seasons of Today's Homeowner TV are now available on Crackle and Prime Video. Grab your favorite streaming device and watch Danny Lipford and Chelsea Lipford Wolf as they help real homeowners maintain and upgrade their homes. Get their expert how-to advice and simple solutions to make your house the best-looking one on the block. Watch for free on Crackle and on Prime Video for subscribers. Search for Today's Homeowner and start watching today.
Removing things like vinyl baseboards and vinyl flooring can be difficult because the adhesives used to hold them are so tough. It's easy to end up damaging walls and subfloors in the process because it takes so much elbow grease to get them loose. The solution is to use an electric heat gun to soften up the adhesive before you begin. Wear gloves and make sure you have adequate ventilation before you get started. Set the heat gun's temperature to medium and begin heating near a seam. Hold the nozzle a few inches away, moving it back and forth over a small area for about 30 seconds. Insert a wide-bladed putty knife behind the materials to start prying it up. Once it's removed, use the gun to melt the adhesive so you can scrape off the rest with a putty knife. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. It's that time of the year when yard work shifts from mowing to raking. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a great way to pick up all those leaves right after this.
Ready for some home improvement inspiration? Full episodes and seasons of Today's Homeowner TV are now available on Crackle and Prime Video. Grab your favorite streaming device and watch Danny Lipford and Chelsea Lipford Wolf as they help real homeowners maintain and upgrade their homes. Get their expert how-to advice and simple solutions to make your house the best-looking one on the block. Watch for free on Crackle and on Prime Video for subscribers. Search for Today's Homeowner and start watching today.
To be honest, I really don't like raking leaves, but I hate picking them up even more to get them into a bag or maybe a garbage can. It's just awkward and inefficient, whether you use your hands or the rake or both. So instead, you should try this. Buy a small 6x8 foot plastic tarp and fold it in half long ways. Along each 4 foot edge, wrap a few inches of the tarp around a 4 foot long, 3/4 inch wooden dowel and secure it with staples. These dowels will serve as handles for the tarp so that you can lay the tarp out on the ground, rake the leaves onto it, and lift it up by the handles to easily dump it into a trash can or compost pile. Believe me, it works great. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
The point of everything on this program is to get you, the listener, to see things as I do.
Rush Limbaugh, weekday mornings at 10.
That's what I want for everybody.
KNZZ.
You're listening to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer. Thanks for listening. Sponsored by Book Cliff Gardens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Along with Steph Griggs, I'm Mona Dyer, and this is Garden Talk, brought to you by Book Cliff Gardens, where we help you grow.
We do.
We do.
Yeah.
We're answering.
And we answer your questions.
We do. If you'll give us a call at 245-1100, 245-1100. So.
Back to amaryllis.
Back to amaryllis. So the trick to keep the stem or the stalk of the flower from getting so great big and huge,
yes,
and toppling itself over.
Which happened to me last year.
Which happened to you last year, and it was heartbreaking and heart-wrenching.
Yes.
Is you get the little stalk to start, and then once it starts to pop up, then you move that pot to a place that has really good light.
Light. Okay.
Yes.
So first warmth and then light.
First warmth, then light.
Okay.
Once you put it someplace where it's got really good light, it will slow down the elongation of that stalk because the stalk is getting really long because it's looking for light.
Oh, gotcha.
So by placing it someplace a little bit brighter, it slows it down.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So once you start to get the buds that begin to open, then you can move it to a place that is a little less bright because the flowers themselves really don't like that bright of light.
Oh,
the flowers will stay pretty longer if they're in a little bit dimmer light, but you can slow down the elongation of that flower stalk
by moving it to light.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
All right. We have a caller on.
This is Marjorie.
Okay. Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning.
What can we do for you today?
Hi, Mona. It's Audrey.
Oh, Audrey. Good morning.
Hi, Ben.
How are you?
Doing well.
Okay, I have a question about wrapping up the garden for the winter.
Okay.
My beets and carrots are still on the ground.
Okay.
I'm watering them lightly, not heavily.
Okay.
And I just wondered, you know, what's the best thing to do with them? Leave them there or take them in?
No. How long have they been in the ground? I mean, were these ones that you planted earlier in the year, or are they just baby ones?
They're spring ones.
Oh, they're spring ones? You know, I would keep watering them, maybe around the carrot tops. Sprinkle some chopped leaves around the tops of those carrots as we're getting into freezing weather. Those carrot tops are a little more tender than what the beets are.
Some grass mulch or leaves around.
I would do the chopped leaves instead of the grass.
Okay.
Because the grass has a tendency to pack down, maybe a little bit too tight.
Too much. Yeah.
You can probably get away with leaving those carrots and beets in the ground. I'm gonna say maybe clear on into the latter part of December.
Oh, great. Oh, great, because I have room in the refrigerator for them right now.
Yeah, leave them in the ground, because even as the soil starts to really get cold and really get some chill to it, the root crops, they simply sweeten as the ground gets colder and chills and continues to drop in temperature. What that does is sweeten those roots, and it is just magical what happens with those roots in the ground cooling off. I would leave them there as long as you possibly can.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Do I have to keep watering them?
But lightly.
Okay.
You know, give them a nice drink of water. Because frozen and wet, or cold and wet, is always better than cold and dry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just want to continue the process of keeping that plant alive, because the part that you're going to eat is the storage organ of those plants. So so the leaves are continuing to make sugars that are going back down into those roots. That's why you're getting this much sweeter taste to those to that food.
Okay, well, that's what I'll do then. I'll gladly leave them in the ground if they're happy there.
Oh yeah. I in my garden, I've pulled beets as late as I think it was around Christmas time when I pulled beets one year.
Oh my.
Oh, they were glorious.
Yeah. Okay, well,
okay.
That's good then. And my lima beans, I'm still hoping they'll come, and my asparagus is put to bed for the winter.
Yeah, good.
So I think we're in good shape.
Awesome.
You take care now. Thanks a lot.
You betcha, Audrey. Have
okay.
a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's making me hungry.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't that sound awesome?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a caller on line one.
This is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Good morning. How can we help?
Oh, good morning. We'll be taking out my zinnia bed soon, and just wondered with your sort of no-till and improve the soil method if I should instead of just yanking the whole plant out, root and all, cut it down close to the ground and leave the roots? Is that kind of your theory?
Yeah, that will work just fine. Just cut the plant down and leave that little root ball in the soil for the winter. And through the course of the winter, as that plant finally does die, because it will, as a result of the cold, those roots will decompose in the soil. So the roots will be enriching the soil through the course of the winter. Once it's time to go and start that zinnia bed again next spring, there, I think, will be very little left for you to go out and try to sift through again come spring.
Okay. And then would you do the same thing with the tomato plants as well?
You know, a tomato plant root system can be pretty big. But, yeah, why not give it a try? Cut it off short. The fibrous tops of the plants sometimes can be a little more tough as far as getting those to decompose. So maybe the thing that would be best to do with that part would be to maybe chop it up and throw that into the compost bin so that you can get a little bit of a head start in breaking down the fibrous portions of that plant so that you can in turn toss it back into the garden when it's time to begin again.
Okay, so you're saying the fibrous part of the stalk or the fibrous part of the root?
Leave the roots alone. Try to leave the root system alone, but the fibrous portion of the vine, the top of the plant.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Get that chopped up because those can be pretty tough. That viney stuff, it's like rope.
Yes.
So okay. Getting that chopped up a little bit to help with the decomposition so that it can get composted out, just give yourself a little head start on that.
Okay.
Okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Thanks for the call, Sharon.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Gosh, those are great questions.
They are great questions.
It is time to put our gardens.
It is. It's getting pretty close. You know, I know in at higher elevations there have been already some killing frosts.
Uh-huh.
I got word last week. There were a couple of places down in the lower valley where they're just, you know, little lower portions in the lower valley,
right,
where there were gardens that got nipped by frost.
Yeah.
They got hurt.
I just looked up the weather, and it looks like a week from this coming Monday, we have a chance for like 28 degrees, I think. That can change, but I was just kind of looking ahead to
right.
see when it might be freezing down here.
Get your woolies out.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, getting the garden put to bed, mm-hmm. Whether it's your vegetable garden or your perennial garden, now is such a lovely time because the trees are about to give you free mulch.
Mm-hmm.
Free mulch.
Yep.
Chopped up leaves out of your trees.
The best.
Are the best. Mm-hmm. About the only thing that can cause you some trouble are cottonwood leaves. Cottonwood mm-hmm. leaves, because they are kind of thick and leathery,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they won't break down the way that... That's all right, Rio. It was my phone making that racket.
I was like, what was that?
Rio heard a little tone and he became concerned. It was space aliens. Don't worry. Anyway, cottonwood leaves are thick and leathery, and sometimes will take for bloody ever to break down.
To decompose.
So if all you have is cottonwood leaves, great. But set them aside and let them dry completely
before
you do anything with them.
Yeah.
And it is important to let things break down before you use them as a compost.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at something and you can still see that it is leaves and sticks and twigs, mm-hmm. that is not compost.
Yeah.
That is mulch.
Gotcha.
compost is already broken down. It is decomposed, hence compost.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yep.
If you put stuff that's not completely decomposed into your soil, that material still has to completely rot away before it serves any useful nutritional purpose to the soil.
That can take time.
Yes. In our soil, it can take time. And the problem is the decomposition process requires nitrogen. So while the decomp process is happening, it's stealing nitrogen from the soil. And if you've got plants that you're trying to grow, it's starving the plants.
That's just science right there.
It's science.
Yeah.
And starving plants.
Yeah.
So it's just.
And that's such a great idea to use what you have
for free. Use what you have.
Clean up the leaves in your yard.
Sure.
And then mulch with them.
Mulch with them. Clean up the leaves. Run them, you know, run the lawnmower over them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Chop it up. Mm-hmm. Use it as mulch. By spring, a lot of those chopped up leaves will have decomposed. So you have turned the mulch into compost. The biology that's in the yard, whether it's in the flower beds or around your trees and shrubs, the critters, if you will, the microbes and such, will gather and grab that compost, pull it into the ground, use that nutrition. Why not use what you have?
Exactly.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah. You know what? I just had a thought pop in my mind because was that last week I was talking about how pretty my nasturtiums are, but no flowers? It was like the next morning I was sitting outside having my coffee and I said, there's flowers. It started flowering again.
It was listening to you and decided, you know, we need to do something because Steph is bummed that there's no flowers.
Yeah, let's flower one more time.
One more time.
Yeah.
So what else is going on in your yard?
Gosh.
The flowers just, still doing beautifully?
They are. And I planted African basil. Just I kept seeing it at like on my gardening Instagram, you know, that it was a great pollinator. It's, I don't think you really eat it, but so I planted a couple of them and they are gorgeous. And every time I go out to look at them, there are bees all over them.
Sure.
And they're taller than my lavender that I have planted next to them.
Right. And, you know, any time that we can invite the pollinators into the garden, whether it's the bees, whether it's, you know, even the little hummingbirds and things who, bless them, have now flown somewhere warm.
I know, I miss them.
Indeed, indeed. But anytime we can invite those little creatures into our yards, it is a wonderful thing to do.
It is.
They're hungry.
It is. And it was fun to try something I've never planted before.
Of course.
So, of course, I've told my grower, our grower Lisa, about that.
Of course. Well, we're coming up on our last commercial break, and we'll have, I don't know, maybe 12 minutes or so when we come back. So give us a call if you've got a question or something to tell us about, something cool going on in your yard. Let us know, 245-1100, 245-1100. This is Garden Talk along with Steph Griggs, and we'll be right back.
It's time to save big during the Volkswagen Oktoberfest sale at Grand Junction Volkswagen. Right now, drive the 2020 popular Volkswagen Jetta for only $199 a month with only $99 down. That's right, only $199 a month with only $99 down. Or 0% financing for 6 years on all 2020 new Volkswagens. It's time. Test drive today at Grand Junction Volkswagen. 2020 Volkswagen Jetta 1.4TS, 39 with lease, 7,500 miles a year, $99 to its signing. Excludes tax, title, license, options, and dealer fees. No security deposit required for highly qualified customers through Volkswagen Credit. Financing excludes Atlas Cross, Sporting Golf. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery from dealer stock by 10/31/2020. See Grand Junction Volkswagen for details.
I try to get out here as often as I can to see George. We picked it out together so the kids wouldn't have to worry about it. He liked the granite. I chose the lettering. They really did a wonderful job. It turned out beautiful. Just beautiful.
Snyder Grand Valley Memorials, locally owned and operated since 1929.
1100 KNZZ, dependable weather.
Mostly clear tonight, Grand Junction 44, Montrose 40, sunny tomorrow 73, sunny on Monday 74, Tuesday 75, Sunny Wednesday, 76.
With Make-A-Wish, the impossible becomes possible. A girl battling cancer can become a race car driver battling the course. The boy showing all the nurses his fire trucks can take the helm of a real one. Wishes can give kids with critical illnesses the strength to keep fighting, get better, and grow up.
Where there's a wish, there's a way.
Wishes need you. Visit Make-A-Wish at wish.org.
There's nothing more frustrating than finding that bucket of joint compound you need has dried up between jobs. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a simple solution to prevent that problem right after this.
Ready for some home improvement inspiration? Full episodes and seasons of Today's Homeowner TV are now available on Crackle and Prime Video. Grab your favorite streaming device and watch Danny Lipford and Chelsea Lipford-Wolf as they help real homeowners maintain and upgrade their homes. Get their expert how-to advice and simple solutions to make your house the best-looking one on the block. Watch for free on Crackle and on Prime Video for subscribers. Search for Today's Homeowner and start watching today.
If you've ever worked with drywall joint compound, spackle, or similar products, you know that they have a tendency to dry out between jobs. The resulting lumpy mess is practically useless, not to mention a waste of good money. So here's a way to keep that from happening. First, use a putty knife to level the top of the material inside the container. Then add just a few drops of water on top of it. Next, cut a piece of kitchen plastic wrap to the size of the container and lay it on top of the compound or spackle before you seal up the container. The plastic wrap will catch all the moisture that's evaporating from the joint compound and keep it from drying out, so it's ready for the next job. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Fox News, I'm Sal Giancrasso. Battleground states getting the attention this weekend. President Trump will be in Michigan and Wisconsin today, then spends the night in Las Vegas. Democrat challenger Joe Biden, off today, returns to campaign in North Carolina tomorrow. The leaders of tech giants like Twitter, Facebook, and Google facing a congressional hot seat. The Senate Commerce Committee holding a hearing to discuss potential reforms to the protections these companies get, enabling them to potentially limit viewpoints, which some call censoring.
What we would do is turn that shield back into something that is transparent by saying, here is when you can use it. Here is when you cannot use it.
Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn today on Fox and Friends. Many Republicans feel that social media favors more liberal views. America is listening to Fox News.
Getting hints of pumpkin spice? Fall is definitely in the air.
Depend on us for accurate weather every 30 minutes.
Sleet and freezing rain.
1100 KNZZ.
You're listening to Garden Talk with Dennis Hill and Mona Dyer, sponsored by Booklift Gardens. Thanks for listening. Here's Dennis and Mona.
Well, actually, it's not Dennis and Mona. It's Mona and Steph.
And here's Mona. And we want some callers.
We do need some callers. Yeah. The number here is 245-1100, 245-1100. If you've got a question or something bugging you or you need some help and listen to those little birds just a chittering and a chattering over there. That's so it's time to plant garlic. Let's talk garlic. Let's talk garlic. It's one of my favorite things in the whole wide world.
Me too. And it's so good for you.
It is so good for you.
Yes.
So time to get that garlic patch going. Time to get it going. And it is so easy to plant and so worth it.
Oh boy, it's so exciting.
Once you have eaten your own homegrown garlic, the stuff at the store just tastes yucky.
Exactly.
It tastes yucky.
And you plant it now.
Yep, plant it now.
You just have to be patient.
And then just be patient.
And you have to remember to water it over
yes.
the winter.
Yep, have to remember just a couple key things, and I promise you'll succeed. I promise.
Okay, what are those key things,
Mona? So the key things. When you get your garlic patch ready to go, and you can plant garlic in a container, but it needs to be a container that's really deep. Mm-hmm. Spoke with a lady yesterday. She's planting hers in a big horse trough.
Right.
She's repurposing a horse trough.
Nice.
Because it's, you know, it'll have plenty of depth.
Yeah.
So you want to work the soil at least 10 inches deep, nice and deep. Work some good organic matter into it. so that you've got plenty of depth, all right? Mm-hmm. The garlic heads, you break those heads into individual cloves. Each of the cloves, everyone I'm sure is familiar with what a garlic clove looks like. So you've got
the teardrop.
It does. So the pointy end of the mm-hmm. teardrop, that's its nose. Mm-hmm. You grab the clove by its nose, and you just push it into the ground, into the soil, mm-hmm. to a depth of maybe 2 inches. Mm-hmm. Push it straight down. You want the flat side of that clove pointed down. Mm-hmm. Just poke it into the ground. I like to plant mine roughly 8 inches apart. Mm-hmm. Because I like to have a bit of room to be able to go and pick out weeds if weeds come.
That's a great idea.
Typically, I don't have much trouble with weeds in between my garlic mm-hmm. because after I plant and give it its first drink of water, I put a layer of soil pep mm-hmm. Over the top of it, and that does two things. It keeps the soil from crusting over.
Right.
And it also keeps the sunlight from being able to hit that soil, and it serves as a mulch
right
to keep the weeds down.
Yes, it also keeps the moisture right
it does.
When you water
it does
yeah.
All right, so planting anywhere from the end of October to say the first week of November or so is typically when I plant. Mm-hmm. Usually I'll plant maybe 250 plants 250-ish plants.
Mona's serious about her garlic.
It's a family thing. It is a family thing. So get it planted and keep an eye on the weather. Keep an eye on the moisture, mm-hmm. especially if we have a long, slow November and December. Sometimes I'll water in January, but typically I won't. Maybe I'll water in January, but absolutely for sure, mm-hmm. I water and fertilize in February, mm-hmm. and again, water and fertilize in March. Mm-hmm. The reason is because that's the time when I want those little cloves to start growing. I need for those guys to get with it. They'll start to set a root system, and we should start to see the top of those little plants start to poke out of the mm-hmm. soil. The reason that there is such a disparity between 8 to 10 inches deep soil mm-hmm. being worked up and only planting that clove of garlic 2 inches deep mm-hmm. is because you need to have a sufficient depth of space for those roots to push down into the soil. Uh-huh. If there's not loose soil underneath that clove of garlic, mm-hmm. that clove will get pushed up out of the soil. So it needs a depth for the roots to hit
right.
so that that clove stays where it is, so that the head of garlic has a safe place to form.
Right, right.
Okay? So we're watering and fertilizing in both February and March. In April, we start watering more frequently and fertilizing once a month, just with nitrogen fertilizer, grass mm-hmm. fertilizer, lawn fertilizer will work fine, but it needs to be high nitrogen. Exactly. High nitrogen fertilizer. The whole idea, the whole trick to growing good garlic is keeping it fed with high nitrogen fertilizer, because all we're trying to do is get a really mm-hmm. huge stand of leaves mm-hmm. between the time that those leaves begin to grow and the time of harvest, which typically is the end of June, the early part of July. The higher, the bigger the stand of leaves, mm-hmm. the more energy that's available to get pumped back down to the garlic head.
Oh, that's
along about the middle of June, that plant shifts itself into reverse, mm-hmm. and all of the energy that's built up and stored in the leaves mm-hmm. goes in reverse and goes back down to the bulb. So the bigger the leaves, the bigger the bulb.
And you want nice big bulbs.
You want big ones. You want ones the size of a coffee cup.
And you can actually eat the garlic. Aren't they called garlic scapes? leaves?
Yes. That's the little flower.
Okay.
So some, not all garlic will form a scape.
Oh, okay.
Soft neck garlic, most soft neck garlic will form a scape.
Oh, gotcha.
Not, let's see, I'm saying this wrong. Some hard neck garlic will form scapes. If the seed garlic that you've used is old, or if it's a 2-year old head of garlic, it will form scapes. My garlic, I've never seen a scape form on mine. Okay. I can't explain why. I don't know why.
Just whatever type it is.
Yeah.
And it's been passed down from her family for years.
Right. The garlic that I grow it was smuggled.
What? Smuggled?
Smuggled. Yes.
I love this story.
So back in the early 70s, my dad, who was French Basque from the French side of the Pyrenees Mountains, he went to visit his family. Mm-hmm. He had not been home to see his mom in 25 years. So he went home to visit his family. It was time for him to come back here to Colorado. And he went to her cellar and he snagged 3 heads of garlic. Mm-hmm. And he smuggled the garlic back to Colorado in his socks, in the suitcase.
This is the best story ever.
He was afraid customs was going to find it. So he smuggled it in his socks.
And I guess you know, they smell something and it's
just jeans socks. It's just the socks.
Just the socks.
Anyway, for 3 years, we did not eat any of the garlic. All he did was grow it, propagate it. Mm. At the point when my dad passed, he was growing between 450 and 500 pounds of garlic a year.
Wow.
And we would laugh because when he would pull the garlic, my mom then wouldn't see him for about a month because he'd be in the barn making garlic braids.
Yeah.
And he would just give it away. You know, somebody would come visit and he'd go to the barn and bring them a braid of garlic and send that home with them. Yeah. It was the worst smuggler in the world.
Yep.
He was, you know, it was the worst kept secret in Colorado.
Yep. And if you, Mona might happen to have a few garlic braids around her house.
I might have a braid or two. But anyway, garlic is so easy.
Yes.
And if you grow it, you can braid it. My garlic will keep. The garlic will keep for an entire year. I typically have enough garlic. I've still got a little garlic left at the end of a season when I'm pulling fresh garlic the new season.
That's perfect.
And it'll hold if you care for it properly.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So speaking of bulbs, Mona was telling me over the break how important it is when you're planting your bulbs, you want to make sure you dig that hole
deeper than
you might think.
Way deep. Because just like with the garlic, all bulbs need to have 5 or 6 or 7 inches of loose soil beneath where the bulb is going to sit. Again, it's because the roots of that bulb need a soft landing spot.
Right.
If that bulb's little fanny is sitting on something solid, the roots will push against that solid surface and shove it right up out of the ground.
And we don't want that.
We don't want that. We want them to stay, say, 3 or 4 inches below the surface of the soil. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, those bulbs are going to freeze.
Right.
And they'll be ruined. So make sure that you dig plenty deep.
Loosen up that soil.
Loosen it up, add some organic matter, stir it in, and then just set the bulbs where you want them. You know, throw the dirt back in, stir it up, you're good to go. I hear Tweedlebirds.
Well, this has been great. We did it, Mona.
We did. We managed it.
We hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk. This is Steph Griggs and Mona Dyer from Bookcliff Gardens, where we help you grow.
Have a great weekend.
Us.